this up to him is greater than my need to disagree with him. I just nod and my voice releases in a whisper when I say, okay. For the first time in my life, I actually feel an overwhelming need to hug someone, but I don't. I don't want our first hug to be attached to such an awkward moment. I climb into the golf cart.
Take PJ with you, he says.
I wait while he walks back over the dune to get him. When he returns with PJ, he puts him in the passenger seat of the golf cart. Samson grips the top of the golf cart and his tone is flat when he says,
I'll be okay, Bea. I'll see you later tonight.
He pushes away from the golf cart and walks back toward the dune. I drive home, leaving Samson with something I know he'll never explain to me and likely won't speak of again. Chapter 18. I'm worried about Samson, obviously. But the longer I sit here and wait for him, I wonder if that worry should be mixed in with anger. It wasn't fair of him to ask me to leave that situation, but the look in his eye made it seem like throwing Rake's remains into the ocean was way more important to him than reporting it was to me. I've seen some disturbing shit in my life. A few bones being moved from a dune and into the ocean is surprisingly not that jarring to me. I don't know what that says about me, or Samson for that matter. Even though I'm not angry at him, I am concerned. My stomach is in knots. It's been almost 4 hours since I got home. I tried to pass the time by showering, eating dinner, and having mindless conversation with my father and Alana. But my mind is still back with Samson on the other side of that dune. I'm sitting out by the bonfire now, staring at Samson's dark house, waiting. Where's Samson? Sarah asks. Great question. Helping someone. He'll be back soon. I take a drink of water, washing the lies out of my mouth. Part of me wants to tell Sarah the truth, but I know better. How would I even come out and say, hey, Sarah, there are human remains down the beach and Samson is digging them up and throwing all the bones into the ocean? Yeah, she wouldn't be able to handle something of that magnitude.
So, what was the kiss like? Sarah asks.
I look at her and she's staring at me with hope in her eyes. I get the feeling she'd probably prefer a stepsister who will gossip with her at night while they brush each other's hair. I'm sad she didn't get that. Instead, she got me, no fun, Bea. The kiss was actually kind of depressing.
What? Why?
I'm not saying it was bad. He's a great kisser. He's just so serious all the time. So am I. It's difficult to share a fun, sexy kiss when there's nothing fun about either of us. I sigh and rest my head against the chair. Sometimes I wish I could be more like you. Sarah laughs. If you were more like me, Samson wouldn't look at you the way he does. That makes me smile. Maybe she's right. Some people just fit together. I wouldn't fit with Marcos, and she wouldn't fit with Samson. I just wish our fall and winter fit as well as our summer. Sarah holds both hands up in the air when the song on the Bluetooth changes to a new song I've never heard.
I love this song!
She jumps up and starts dancing. Marcos gets up and dances with her. It's not a slow song, so they're stomping and spinning around like their lives weigh nothing. I watch them dance until the song is over and Sarah falls back into her chair, out of breath. She reaches down for a bottle of liquor stuck in the sand.
Here, she says, handing it to me. Alcohol makes everything fun.
I bring it to my mouth and pretend to take a drink. I'd rather be boring than become my mother, so I have no desire to actually swallow it. But I pretend to for Sarah's sake. I've already been enough of a downer tonight. I don't want to deny the alcohol and make her feel guilty for drinking.
I hand the bottle back to her just as something behind her catches my eye.
Finally, it's been 4 hours.
Samson will have to walk past us to get to his house. He's covered in sand. He looks tired. He even looks a little bit guilty when we make eye contact. He looks away quickly, but then spins as he walks past us. He lifts his eyes again while he walks backward. He nudges his head toward his house and then spins around and disappears into the darkness.
"You're being summoned," Sarah says.
I remain seated for a moment, not wanting to appear too eager to follow him. I'm not a dog.
"Are you two fighting?"
"No."
"Then go. I like it when Marco summons me. It always means good things."
She looks at Marcos and says, "Hey, Marcos, summon me." Marcos nods his head once, and Sarah jumps out of her chair and walks over to him, falling dramatically into his lap. The chair falls over and spills them out onto the sand. Marcos is still holding his beer up in the air. He didn't even spill a single drop. I leave them alone and start walking toward Samson's house. I can hear the outdoor shower running when I get close. I walk onto the concrete foundation of the stilt level of his house. I haven't spent any time down here, but it's nice. Aside from the shower, there's a bar and a couple of tables. I don't know why we never spend time here instead of at the beach every night. Samson has the kind of house that would be good for parties, but he doesn't seem like the type who would want to host one. I don't see Samson's shorts as I approach the shower, which means he's still dressed. There isn't a door to the shower. The walls are made of wood, and there's an opening and a left turn I have to make before I see him. His back is to me. His palms are pressed against the wood, and the shower spray is falling over the back of his neck. His head is hanging between his shoulders.
"I'm sorry," he says quietly.
He turns and pushes the wet hair off his forehead.
"For what?"
"For putting you in this position. For expecting you to keep secrets when I don't tell you any of mine."
"You never asked me not to tell anyone. You just asked me not to call the police."
He wipes his hand over his face and leans back into the stream of water.
"Did you tell anyone?"
"No."
"Are you going to?"
"Not if you don't want me to.
I'd rather it stay between us," he says.
I silently agree. It's not that hard for me to keep secrets. I'm a pro at it. I kind of like that Samson is a closed book. You can't really dislike a book you haven't read yet. But I think I'm able to be patient with him because he told me he'd eventually tell me all his truths. Otherwise, I might not find him worth the effort. "I feel like there's more to the story with Rake," I say. "Will you explain it with all the other answers you owe me on August 2nd? He nods.
"Yeah, I'll tell you then."
I'm gonna start keeping a list of all the questions I want answers to. His lip twitches like I amuse him.
"And I'll answer them all on August 2nd.
I take a step toward him.
"You promise?"
"I swear." I lift one of his hands. He's got dirt beneath all his fingernails. "Did you dig up all of it?"
"Yes."
"And you're sure it was Rake?"
"Positive."
He looks and sounds exhausted, maybe even sad. I really do think Rake was a bigger part of his life than he's letting on. I glance at his necklace, then look back at his face. He's staring down at me, the small streams of water sliding down his face. My clothes are starting to get wet from the spray, so I take off my shirt and toss it over the wall of the shower. I leave on my shorts and bikini top and help Samson clean his fingernails. He stands patiently as I get all the dirt out from beneath each nail and then wash his hands with soap. When I'm finished, Samson pulls on my hand and tugs me until I'm standing under the water with him. He kisses me, and I move with him as he backs himself against the wall, pulling me out of the stream of water. It's a lazy kiss. His hands are resting on my hips while he leans against the wall of the shower and lets me direct the moment. I lean against him, pressing my breasts against his bare chest, wrapping my left hand around the back of his neck. I shouldn't have told Sarah it was a depressing kiss. That's such a terrible description of what this is. Durable is a better word. All of our kisses feel important, like they'll stay with me forever. They aren't small displays of affection that happen in passing. There's something bigger behind them than attraction. Right now, That bigger thing is sadness, and I want to take that away from him, even if it's just for a few minutes.
I drag my right hand down his chest until my fingers meet the elastic band of his shorts. I dip my hand inside, and right when I do, Samson inhales sharply. We stop kissing while I touch him for the first time. His eyes are focused hard on mine, like he's silently saying, "I don't have to do this," but also begging me not to stop. I wrap my hand firmly around him, and his head falls back with a sigh. "Bea," he whispers. I kiss his neck and slowly begin to move my hand up and down the length of him. There's more to him than there was to Dakota. It doesn't surprise me. There's more to Samson in almost every aspect compared to anyone else I know. I use my left hand to lower his shorts enough so that he's not confined inside them. We stand in this position for a couple of minutes at least, me touching him, Samson breathing heavier and deeper, gripping my hips tighter with every stroke. I watch his face the whole time, unable to look away. Sometimes he looks at me, and other times he squeezes his eyes shut like it's all too much. When he begins to clench all the muscles in his body, he suddenly brings a hand up to my hair and pulls gently, tilting my head back so that his mouth can fit against mine. He takes two quick steps, pushing me against the opposite shower wall while he kisses me with more strength than every other kiss that came before this one. My hand is still gripping him, and it's like he can't even breathe and kiss me at the same time, because he breaks apart and presses the side of his head to the side of mine. His mouth is over my ear when he breathes out a guttural, "Fuck." Chills roll down my body as he begins to shudder beneath my touch. I continue to stroke him until I feel the sticky warmth of him on the palm of my hand, and he eventually sighs, burying his face against my neck. He takes a moment to catch his breath, and then he reaches for the shower head. He pulls it between us, washing himself and my hand, and then he lets it fall to the floor before kissing me again. He's breathing like he just ran a marathon. At this point, I might be breathing like that too. When he finally pulls away and looks down at me, some of the weight has lifted from behind his eyes. That's all I wanted, for him to feel better about whatever happened to him out there tonight. I kiss him tenderly on the corner of his mouth, preparing to say goodnight, but he runs his fingers through my wet hair and whispers, "When are you going to let me hold you?" His eyes are pleading like he needs a hug more than he needed what I just gave him. I'd probably let him hug me right now if I wasn't so afraid it would make me cry. It's like he can see the war in my eyes, so he just nods and kisses the side of my head. "Good night," I whisper.
"Good night, Bea."
He turns off the shower, and I grab my shirt, pull it back on, and walk away from his house.
Chapter 19. All five of Samson's houses were rented for the July 4th weekend, so he's staying with Marcos. It's been a week since he found Rake. We haven't talked about it. There's less than a month left until August 2nd, and I'll get all my answers then. I'm not looking forward to it. August 2nd to me just means the eve of the day we'll be saying goodbye to each other. I'm just trying to focus on today. And today, the beaches are so crazy we don't even want to be out there. We're on Marcos's balcony. It's a few rows back from the beach, which is why we're here. There is so much music and noise and more drunk people than you could find in any bar in Texas, so none of us have the urge to hang out closer to those crowds. We ate dinner with Marcos's family tonight. He's got two little sisters, and there was so much activity and conversation and food. Samson looked like he was right at home with Marcos's family, and it made me wonder what he's like when he's around his own family. Do they have family meals together like my father and Alana like to do? Would they accept me if they ever met me? Something tells me they wouldn't, or he wouldn't be so secretive about them. I felt accepted tonight, though. accepted and well-fed. My goal to gain weight this summer has been crushed. I'm not sure I can even fit into the one pair of jeans I bought when I got here. I've worn mostly shorts and my bathing suit this whole summer. The sun just set, but the fireworks started before that. They're picking up now that it's finally dark, and they're coming from all over the peninsula.
The Galveston fireworks will start in a few minutes, Sarah says. I wish we could see them from here.
Marjorie's roof would have a good view, Samson says. You think she'd let us use it? I ask. Samson shrugs. Depends on if she's awake or not.
Marco stands up. No one can sleep through this noise.
We all make our way to Marjorie's, along with PJ, who is waiting beneath Marcos's house. Marjorie is sitting on her porch when we reach her street, watching all the commotion on the beach. She sees us approaching and says,
I figured you'd be here sooner than this.
She waves a hand toward her front door.
Be my guest.
Thanks, Marjorie, Samson says.
Once we're inside, he waits for Sarah and Marcos to climb the stairs first, then me.
When we reach the roof entrance, Sarah is on her hands and knees as she crawls out the opening. Marcos tries to help her, but she shakes her head.
It's too high. I can't move.
Samson laughs.
Try to get to the center of the roof. You'll only see the sky instead of the ground.
Sarah crawls to the center of the roof. We all follow and I sit down next to her. Samson sits next to me.
How do you walk around up here? Sarah asks him.
I don't look down, Samson says.
Sarah covers her face for a minute as she tries to lessen the dizziness.
I had no idea I was afraid of heights.
Marcos wraps an arm around her.
Come here, babe.
She moves closer to Marcos, and seeing him hold her like that makes me very aware that Samson and I aren't even touching. I glance at him, but he's looking at fireworks that are being shot from somewhere down the beach. Is Marjorie lonely? I ask him. He looks at me and smiles.
No, she has a son. He's a lawyer in Houston. He comes to visit her a couple times a month.
That makes me feel good. Samson sees the relief on my face, and then he leans toward me and gives me a quick peck.
You're sweet, he whispers.
Then he grabs my hand, threading his fingers through mine, and we watch the fireworks in silence. The more time that passes, the more there are. We can see them all around us, in the bay, coming from Galveston. Somehow there are even fireworks being shot from way out in the ocean. Marcos looks at Sarah and says,
This would have been a great marriage proposal moment with all these free fireworks in the background. Too bad we just met over spring break.
Bring me back here next year, she says. I'll pretend I forgot this conversation.
They make me laugh. After a few more minutes, Sarah tells Marcos she needs down because she's feeling nauseous. They leave, but Samson and I stay on Marjorie's roof. I find myself watching him more than I'm watching the fireworks. He looks enamored with everything.
I've never seen Daria look this beautiful, Samson whispers. Wait, what? Daria is the name of the girl he said broke his heart. Look how the fireworks reflect off of her,
he says, pointing out at the ocean. I look at where he's pointing, then back at him, confused. Are you calling the ocean Daria?
Yeah, he says, matter of fact. Daria means the sea. It's what Rake used to call her.
You told me Daria was the ex-girlfriend who broke your heart. Samson laughs.
I told you Daria broke my heart, but I never said I was talking about a girl.
I tried to think back on that conversation. This whole time he was talking about the water? How does an ocean break a heart?
I'll tell you on August 2nd, I finish with a roll of my eyes.
I adjust myself and reach into my pocket for my phone. I'm taking notes. You owe me a lot of explanations. Samson laughs.
Can I see the list?
I hand him my phone after I add the last one. He starts reading off the list.
Why don't you like talking about your father's rental houses? Who was the guy that interrupted our dinner? What's the worst thing you've ever done? Why don't you like talking about your family? What's the whole story behind Rake? How many girls have you had sex with?
He pauses and looks at me for a beat, then goes back to the list.
What's your full name? How did the ocean break your heart?
He stares at my phone for a moment, then hands it back to me.
10, he says, but I really only remember 9. My memory of one of the girls is fuzzy.
10, that's a lot in comparison to me, but not much compared to what I assumed his past was like. He could have said 50, and I don't know that I'd be surprised. 10 isn't very many.
Compared to your 1, it is,
he says teasingly. I just thought there were more. The way Sarah talked about you, it seemed like you slept with a different girl every week.
I rarely slept with them. I have no idea how many I've made out with, though. Please don't ask me that question on August 2nd, because I won't be able to answer it.
A huge blast of fireworks begins shooting off straight in front of us. Samson's attention gets pulled away from me, but I continue to stare at him. Sometimes I wonder if I even want all the answers to my questions. I think the mystery that surrounds you might be one of my favorite things about you, while simultaneously being one of my least favorite things about you. Samson doesn't look at me when he says,
"You want to know what my favorite thing about you is?"
What?
You're the only person I've ever met who would probably like me more if I were poor.
That's the honest truth. You're right. Your money is definitely my least favorite thing about you. Samson presses a kiss to my shoulder. Then he looks back out over the water.
I'm glad you showed up this summer, Bea.
Me too, I whisper. Chapter 20. I don't like birth control. I've been on it almost a week now, and I feel like it's messing with my emotions. I'm starting to feel things even more than I did after showing up here. There are moments I severely miss my mother, moments I convince myself I'm falling in love with Samson, moments I feel excited to have a conversation with my father. I don't know who I'm becoming, but I'm not sure I like it. I doubt it really has anything to do with the birth control, but it feels good to have something to blame. Samson has been gone most of the day. Sarah and I spent time without him and Marcos on the beach. It's past time for dinner and we're hungry, so we start packing up, just as 3 guys begin to set up a volleyball net on the beach between our house and Samson's. When Sarah and I drop our chairs in the storage compartment on the stilt level, I look back at them. There's a weird pinch in my chest, like volleyball is something I miss. I never thought that would happen. I'm gonna ask if I can play with them, I say. You wanna play? Sarah shakes her head. I want to shower. I have sand in my crack. She heads for the stairs. Have fun, though. Kick some ass. When I reach the guys, they're just about to start a game of one-on-one. One of them is sitting on the invisible sideline while the other 2 are in position to start their game. Hey, I say, interrupting them. All 3 of them turn and look at me. Now that I'm closer, I'm a little bit intimidated. I might make a fool of myself now that I've seen the size of these guys. Need one more? The 3 of them look at each other. There's a smirk on the tallest one's face when he says,
"You sure about that?"
The smirk annoys me. Yeah, I'll even make it fair and team up with the worst one out of the 3 of you. They laugh. Then 2 of them point to the guy still sitting down.
He's the worst out of the 3 of us.
The guy in the sand concurs.
It's true, I suck.
Great, let's play. PJ is standing next to me, so I walk him over to a spot where he'll be out of the way and tell him to sit. The guys introduce themselves to me before we start. The one on my team is named Joe, the tallest one is Topher, and the other one is Walker. Walker serves the ball right to me and I easily bump it over the net. Walker sets the ball for Topher and he attempts to spike it right at me. Before he knows it, I'm up at the net, successfully blocking it.
Impressive,
Topher mutters after I get my first point. I get 3 hits in before Joe even touches the volleyball.
I haven't worked out in a while, so I notice myself getting winded quicker than I normally would.
I'll blame that on the birth control, too.
And the sand. I've never played on sand before. They score two more points before Joe and I finally side out. I'm about to serve the ball when I see Samson standing on his balcony. He's staring down at me, watching us. I wave, but he doesn't wave back. Is he jealous? He pushes off the balcony and walks back inside his house. What the hell? It actually pisses me off. Samson knows I play volleyball. I should be able to play an innocent game of volleyball without him assuming I'm flirting with any of these three guys. My anger fuels my serve, and I hit the ball harder than I mean to. Luckily, it's in, landing right on the line. This is what I was worried about. The more time I spend with Samson, pieces of him might come to light that I don't necessarily like. Jealousy is definitely something I don't like. We finish a short rally before I steal a glance at his balcony. He still hasn't come back out. I put all my anger and energy into the game. I lunge for the volleyball and fall to my knees. I fall three more times before Joe even touches the ball again. I'm going to be the color of an eggplant by the end of this game. We score a point on them and tie it up 4-4. Joe walks over and high-fives me. "This might be the first game I ever win," he says. I laugh at him, but my smile fades when I see Samson walking down his stairs. If he comes over here and makes a scene, I'm going to be so angry. He is. He's coming this way. And he's carrying a chair.
"Heads up," Joe yells.
I look up and see the ball flying at me, just barely out of reach. I go for the dig and receive a mouthful of sand when I hit the ground, unintentionally shanking the ball.
"Get up, Bea,"
I hear Samson yell. I jump to my feet and look in his direction. He's walking over to us holding his chair. He drops it in the sand next to PJ, about 5 feet from the net, and takes a seat in it, sliding his sunglasses from his eyes to his head. Then he cups his hands around his mouth.
"Go, Bea!" he yells.
What is he doing? The ball goes to Joe this time, and he finally sets the ball perfectly at the net for me. Little do they know, I was the best outside hitter on my team. I spike it directly between Topher and Walker. When it hits the sand and we get a point, Samson jumps out of the chair.
"Yes," he yells. "More of that, Bea!"
My mouth falls open when it hits me. Samson remembered what I told him, that no one has ever come to any of my games. He came out here to cheer for me.
"Who the hell is that dude?"
Joe says, staring at Samson. Samson climbs up into the chair and starts chanting,
"Bea! Bea!"
It might possibly be the cheesiest thing I've ever seen. One guy, alone, in an invisible audience, yelling at the top of his lungs for a girl he knows has never been yelled for. It's the most touching thing anyone has ever done for me. Topher serves the ball and I'm shocked I'm able to hit it back through the cloud of tears in my eyes. Fucking emotions. I'm blaming this moment on the birth control too. For a long stretch of time, Samson doesn't shut up. I think he's annoying the three guys I'm playing with, but I'm not sure I've ever smiled this much in my life. I smile through all the falls and all the points and all the times I get the breath knocked out of me. I smile because I've never enjoyed a game of volleyball this much. I smile because Samson has made me realize just how much I miss it. I'm buying a volleyball today. I need to start practicing again. Not that I'm as terrible as Joe. He's doing his best, but I'm single-handedly keeping us in this game. At one point, he's so out of breath, he just steps aside and leaves me to do all the work for a good 30 seconds. I'm somehow miraculously 1 point ahead when the game almost reaches the final point. If I can get one more, I win. I notice Samson is quiet as I lift the ball to serve it. He's staring intently at me like he's really into this. All he does is give me the smallest of smiles and a cheesy thumbs up.
and I suck in a breath, serve the ball, and pray it hits the sand on the other side of the net. It's short. Both Topher and Walker dive for it, but I know neither will be able to reach it. Ace! When the ball falls to the sand with a thud, Samson jumps out of his chair. You did it! I stand here in shock. I did it. I would say we did it, but Joe really wasn't a lot of help. I high-five him and then receive the handshakes the other two offer me.
You're really good, Topher says. Wanna go another round?
I glance over at Samson and shake my head. I work to catch my breath and say, not tonight, but I'm around if you guys come back tomorrow. I wave goodbye to them and then run over to Samson. He meets me with the biggest smile on his face. I throw my arms around his neck and he picks me up and swings me around. When my feet are back on the sand, he doesn't release his hold on me.
You're a fucking legend, he says.
He wipes dirt from my face, a filthy legend. I laugh and Samson pulls me to him. He presses his cheek to the top of my head and squeezes me. I realize at the same time he does what's happening between us. I can feel his whole body take a pause, like he's not sure if he should release me or hold me tighter. My face is pressed against his shirt. I pull my arms from around Samson's neck and slip them around his waist. I close my eyes, absorbed in the closeness of him. I feel his own grip tighten around me, and he lets out a sigh as he runs a hand down my back. He adjusts himself just a little so that I somehow fit against him even better. And then we just stand this way, while the world moves around us, him holding me, me allowing it, me wanting it. I had no idea how good it would feel, any of this. All the moments I spend with him are charged and exciting, and I feel them right in the center of my chest. It's like he wakes up a part of me that's been asleep for 19 years. I appreciate so many things I didn't think I would ever be able to appreciate. I like being kissed by someone who actually respects me. I love that he's so proud of me, he picked me up and swung me around. He went out of his way to scream like an idiot on the sidelines of a silly beach volleyball game just to make me feel good. At some point during this hug, I started crying. It's not a noticeable cry, but I can feel the wetness sliding down my cheeks. I honestly don't feel like we're close enough, even though we can't possibly get any closer. I want to melt into him, become a piece of him. I want to see if I make the inside of his chest feel as alive as he makes mine. It's as if he can tell I don't want him to let go. He lifts me until my legs go around his waist, and then he walks me straight to his house, away from the beach, away from the guys. When we reach his stilt level, he lowers me to my feet. I reluctantly pull back to look up at him, but with the sun setting and being under the first floor of his house, I can't see him as well as I wish I could. There's very little light left, which is casting a shadow over his eyes. He takes both of his thumbs and brings them to my cheeks, wiping them dry. Then he kisses me. We taste like a mixture of tears and grains of sand. I pull away. I need to rinse off. I have sand everywhere. Use the outdoor shower, he says, motioning toward it. I don't let go of his hand as we walk toward the shower. My whole body is sore and I'm still a little out of breath. Samson takes off his shirt and drops it to the ground before walking into the shower. He turns on the water and steps out of the way so that I can stand beneath the stream. I open my mouth to rinse some of the sand out of it. Then I drink some of it. I take the shower head off the holder and wash the sand from myself. Samson leans against the wall and watches me the whole time. I like how he watches me. Even though it's dark, especially in this shower, he looks like he's soaking up every inch of me. When I'm finished rinsing off, I replace the shower head. I see Samson move out of the corner of my eye, Then I feel him behind me. He snakes an arm around me, pressing his palm flat against my stomach. I lean my head back against his shoulder and tilt my face toward him. Samson brings his mouth down on mine. We remain in this position while we kiss, my back against his chest, him wrapped around me from behind. His hand slides up my stomach and disappears beneath my bikini top. He cups my breast and I suck in more of his air in a gasp. Then his other hand begins trailing down my stomach. When he reaches the edge of my bikini, he dips his thumb inside, pulling away from my mouth. He looks in my eyes and gets his answer. I do not want him to stop. My lips are parted as I anticipate whatever it is he's about to do. He watches my face as his hand disappears between my legs. I arch my back and moan, and that move puts even more pressure behind his touch. I've imagined what this would feel like since the night he first kissed me. His actual touch puts my imagination to shame. It doesn't take long for my entire body to react. It's embarrassingly quick before I'm trembling beneath his fingers. I reach for his legs behind me and grip his thighs. He falls against the wall, pulling me with him, never stopping the rhythm of his hand. Luckily, when it gets to be too much, he covers my mouth with his and muffles all my noises. When it's over, he's still kissing me. He pulls his hand from between my legs and he spins me until I'm against his chest. I'm completely out of breath as I fall against him, my arms limp and my legs sore. I sigh heavily. I want to get a tattoo, Samson says. I laugh against his chest. That's what you're thinking about right now? That was my second thought, he says. I didn't say the first one out loud. What was the first one? I look up at him. I think it's obvious. I shake my head. It's not. I'm afraid you're going to have to say it out loud. He dips his head and brings his lips to my ear. I can't fucking wait for our first time, he whispers. Then he turns off the water and walks out of the shower like that thought was never whispered out loud. You want one? He asks. I'm kind of in shock, I think, so I take a few seconds to respond to him. Want what? A tattoo. I never thought I'd want one until this moment. Yeah, I think I do. Samson peeks his head back into the shower and smiles. Look at us, deciding to get spontaneous tattoos. We are definitely fun people, Bea. Chapter 21.
I have an idea, Marco says with a mouthful of food. My friend Jackson.
Tonight is baptismal dinner night. Breakfast again. We haven't been talking about anything specific, so none of us knows what Marcos is referring to. He's met with blank stares, so he points across the table toward Samson.
Jackson has dark blonde hair, blue eyes. Your face structures are different, but it's a tattoo shop. I doubt they really look at your ID too hard.
Oh, that. Samson can't find his wallet, and it's been 3 days since he suggested getting a tattoo. You can't get a tattoo without identification, and even though he's torn his house upside down for the better part of 3 days looking for it, he hasn't had any luck. He thinks the last renters might have found it and taken it. He said it's always in his backpack, but we both looked in the backpack and it wasn't there. Everything else he owns was, though. I don't know how he carries it around so casually. The thing weighs 50 pounds. Samson chews on Marcos's suggestion, then shrugs.
Worth a shot. Tattoo shop? My father asks. Who's getting a tattoo?
Sarah immediately points at me and Samson. Those two, not me.
Thank God, Alana mutters. Not that I'm much more than her husband's daughter, but that comment stings. It doesn't bother her if I get one, but she's obviously relieved her daughter isn't getting one. My father looks at me and says,
What are you getting?
I point to the inside of my wrist. Something right here, I don't know what yet.
And when are you going?
Tonight,
Marco says, holding up his phone. Jackson just said we could swing by and borrow his driver's license.
Nice, Samson says.
Do you know what you're getting, Samson?
Not yet, he says, shoveling a forkful of eggs into his mouth.
My father shakes his head.
Both of you are getting something inked onto your bodies for the rest of your lives in a matter of hours, and neither of you know what you're getting?
We have to take the ferry to get there, Samson says. That's plenty of time to think about it.
Samson scoots his chair back and stands up. He's got a slice of bacon in his hand as he walks his plate to the kitchen.
We should probably get going. Ferry line might be long, with it being the end of the weekend.
Bea,
my father says, his voice pleading.
Maybe you should think about this for a few weeks.
What a parental thing to say. I think I like it. Trust me, Dad. I'll have much bigger regrets in life than a tattoo. His expression falters when I say that. I meant it as a joke. But he looks genuinely concerned about my decision-making abilities now. The tattoo shop is empty, and I think that worked to our advantage. When the guy took Samson's fake driver's license, he looked at Samson, then back at the driver's license. He shook his head but said nothing. He just disappeared behind a door to make copies of our paperwork. When Marcos returned to the car earlier with Jackson's driver's license, I couldn't stop laughing. He's a good 50 pounds lighter than Samson and at least 5 inches shorter. Marcos told Samson if the tattoo shop doesn't believe it's him, he should just say he's been lifting. They didn't even question it. I'd be offended if I were Samson.
They must be desperate for business, I whisper. He didn't even question you.
Samson slides a photo album in front of me full of ideas for tattoos. He grabs one for himself and we start flipping through the pages.
I want something delicate, I say, scrolling through pictures of hearts and flowers, but nothing tugs at me.
I want the opposite of delicate, Samson says.
What is the opposite of delicate?
I flip toward the back of the book and come across tattoos that seem like they would be more up Samson's alley than mine, but none of them seem like something he would like. When I get to the last page, I close the book and try to focus. Delicate to me means dainty, soft, fragile. So the opposite would be what? Strength, durability, maybe even threatening? I know immediately after that thought what he should get. I open my phone and search for pictures of hurricanes. I scroll through several before I find one I think he would love. I found one I think you should get.
Samson doesn't even look up from his book when he says, okay.
He continues scrolling while he flips his left arm over and says,
I want it right here.
He points at a spot on the upper inside of his forearm.
Go show it to the guy so he can start getting it ready.
You don't want to see it first?
Samson's eyes slide over to mine.
Do you think I'll love it?
I nod. I do.
Then it's the tattoo I want.
He's so matter-of-fact about it. Like there's no question at all that this tattoo is more about me than anything else.
I can't help but kiss him.
There are two tattoo artists working tonight, and even though we're both getting a tattoo, I still haven't found what I want. Samson is in the chair, the tattoo gun pressed to his arm. His head is tilted away from it so that he doesn't see it before it's finished. He's scrolling through his phone, trying to help me find something.
What about a sunrise? He asks.
That's not a bad idea, so I look through a few. I ultimately decide against it. That seems like it would take a lot of ink and would look better if it were bigger. I want to start small. I've flipped through every book they have. I'm starting to think my father was right. Maybe I have to give this more thought.
I have an idea, Samson says. We should look up meanings and see what kind of symbols they correlate to.
Okay.
What do you want it to symbolize? He asks.
Maybe something that means luck.
I could use some better luck in my life. He starts scrolling through his phone while I go to check the progress of his tattoo. Even though I chose a hurricane for him, it's not with typical black ink. I chose a tattoo that resembles what it would look like on a radar screen, with reds, yellows, blues, and greens. It's not necessarily a watercolor tattoo, but the colors all swirled together against faded black edges sort of make it look that way. It's turning out even better than I hoped.
Found yours, Samson says.
He goes to hand me his phone so I can see what he picked out for me, but I don't take it.
I trust you, I say.
It's only fair. You shouldn't.
His expression after he says that sends a swirl of unease through me. He's right, I shouldn't trust someone I hardly know anything about. I was just agreeing to let him do what I'm doing, choosing his tattoo blindly. But I feel like between the two of us, I'm oddly the more trustworthy one. I grab his phone to look at it. What is it?
A pinwheel.
I look at the photo. It's delicate, colorful, and he doesn't even know I've chosen a hurricane for him. So we would both have tattoos that resemble a pattern of rotation.
It says pinwheels are supposed to turn around bad luck.
It's perfect, I whisper.
Sarah and Marcos have been outside since we filled out the paperwork for the tattoos, which was a good 2.5 hours ago, but they haven't come inside to complain about the wait. I'm sure they've found something to keep themselves occupied. My tattoo is finished. It's perfect.
He lined the outside with a thin line of black ink and then filled it with color, but the colors bleed outside of the lines like dripping paint. I got it on my left wrist. I showed Samson and then took a picture before I let the guy cover it up with a bandage. Samson's tattoo artist wipes his down one final time. Samson hasn't peeked once.
All done, the guy says.
Samson sits up in the chair without looking down at the tattoo. He stands up and walks to the bathroom, then summons me to follow him with a nod. He wants to look at it with no one else around. I don't blame him, he might hate it. And that wouldn't just make me feel bad, it would make the tattoo artist feel bad. I walk into the bathroom with him and close the door behind me. It's a small bathroom, so we're standing really close together.
Are you nervous? He says, I wasn't, but now that it's done, I am.
I smile and then I start anxiously bouncing on my toes. Look at it, I'm dying. Samson looks down at his tattoo for the first time. It's about the size of a fist, right beneath the inside crease of his elbow. I'm staring at his face, waiting for his reaction. He has no reaction. He just stares at it. It's Hurricane Ike, I explain, running my finger across it. I used a radar photo of when it was right over Bolivar Peninsula and had him turn it into a tattoo. The only thing I get from Samson is a sigh, and I can't even tell if it's a good sigh. I feel anxious now. I was so convinced he would like it, I didn't think about what it might mean if he didn't. Samson slowly lifts his eyes. There's no give in his expression that would hint at what he's thinking. But then, he grabs my face and kisses me so sudden and so hard, I fall against the bathroom door. I think this means he likes it. He lowers his hands to my thighs and slides me up the door until I'm wrapped around him, like he's trying to tie us in a permanent knot. He's kissing me with a freshly dug up feeling he's never kissed me with before. I'm not sure any other response to seeing his tattoo would have been an appropriate one, now that I've been met with this response. He moves against me in a way that makes me moan. But as soon as I do, he pulls his mouth from mine, like that moan was a big red stop sign. He drops his forehead to mine. And his words are full of emotion when he says, I'd take you right here if you didn't deserve better. I'd let him.
Chapter 22.
No.
My father's response is absolute. Please?
No.
I'm 19.
She's on the pill, Alana says.
I set my fork down and press a hand to my forehead. I don't know why I even asked him if I could stay the night with Samson. I should have just snuck out and come home before he woke up, but I'm trying not to break any of his rules. Sarah finished eating before this discussion started, but she looks like she's enjoying it. She's seated at the table with her knee pulled up to her chest, watching this conversation like we're playing it out on a television. All she needs is a bag of popcorn.
Does your mother let you spend the night with guys? My father asks.
I laugh half-heartedly at that. My mother didn't care where I spent the night. I want you to care. I would just also appreciate it if you trusted me. My father runs a hand down his face like he doesn't know what to do. He looks to Alana for answers.
Would you allow Sarah to spend the night with Marcos?
Sarah and Marcos spend the night together all the time, Alana says. I glance at Sarah just as she perks up in her chair. We do not. Alana rolls her head. I'm not ignorant, Sarah.
There's a look of complete surprise on Sarah's face.
Oh, I thought you were.
I laugh at that, but no one else does.
With that news, my father somehow seems even more torn. Listen, Dad, I say as gently as possible. I wasn't really asking you for permission. I was more or less telling you I'm staying at Samson's house tonight as a courtesy because this is your house and I'm trying to be respectful. But it would make this a lot easier if you would just say okay.
My father groans, falling back into his chair. I'm so glad I punched that damn kid when I had the chance, he mutters.
Then he waves toward the front door.
Fine, whatever, just don't make a habit of this, and be home before I wake up so I can pretend tonight never happened.
Thank you, I say, pushing back from the table. Sarah immediately follows me out of the kitchen and up the stairs. When we get to my room, she falls onto the bed. I can't believe my mother knows Marco sleeps over sometimes. I thought we were really sneaky about it.
You might be sneaky, but you certainly aren't quiet.
She laughs. I can't let Marcos find out she knows. He likes the forbidden aspect of it all. I text Samson to let him know I'm definitely staying over, and then I open my closet door and stare into it. What the hell do I wear? I don't think it matters. The goal is to end up in nothing by the end of the night, right? I can feel my skin begin to tingle with nervousness. I've had sex plenty of times, but never in a bed. Never fully naked, and definitely never with someone I care about. Samson texts me back a fireworks emoji. I roll my eyes and slip my phone back into my pocket.
Have you guys not had sex yet? Sarah asks.
I decide not to change clothes. I just throw a fresh t-shirt and a clean pair of underwear into my backpack.
Not yet. Why not?
There hasn't been a lot of opportunity for that, I say. We're always with you and Marcos, and when we're alone, we've done other things, just not that.
Marcos and I have sex all the time. We even had sex while y'all were getting tattoos last week.
I look at her and wince. In the back seat?
Yep, twice.
Gross, Samson and I had to ride home in that back seat.
Are you going to give me all the details tomorrow, or am I just getting another lame high five?
Sarah's been patient with me considering how little I share about certain aspects of my life and how blunt I am in other areas. I'll tell you everything, I say right before walking out of my bedroom. Promise.
I want every detail. Take notes if you have to.
Luckily, my father and Alana are no longer in the kitchen, so I slip out of the house without having to continue to discuss the fact that I'm having sex with my neighbor tonight. I am definitely not used to having a family who discusses every single thing out in the open like they do. Samson is waiting at the bottom of the stairs. Desperate much, I tease. He kisses me and takes my backpack, eager. We begin walking toward Samson's house. PJ is following us, but Samson doesn't have a dog bed for him.
PJ, go home. I point to the stairs. PJ pauses for a moment.
I repeat myself, and then he finally turns and goes back up our stairs. Samson slips his hand through mine and holds it until we're in his house. He locks the front door behind him, sets the code on the alarm, and then kicks off his shoes. I look around, wondering where this is going to happen, how it's going to happen. It feels a little weird knowing what's coming. I prefer spontaneity over plans when it comes to sex. Dakota treated me like I was on a strict, rotating schedule.
You thirsty? Samson asks.
I shake my head. I'm fine. He tosses my backpack against the wall next to his backpack. He grabs my hand and twists my wrist so that he can see my tattoo. It's been a week since we got them and both of ours healed well. It kind of makes me want another one, but I feel like I need to wait until I have a reason. Getting one with Samson felt important. I'll wait for another important life moment before getting a second one.
It turned out really good, he says, running his finger over it.
You never actually said if you liked yours.
I told you I loved it the night I got it. I just didn't say it with words.
He slides his fingers through mine and leads me up a set of stairs. When he opens the door to his room, he lets me walk in first. The balcony doors are open, and there's a breeze blowing the sheer curtains into the room. The bed is perfectly made, and I still can't get over how clean he keeps everything. Samson flips on a lamp by the bed. It's pretty, I say, walking toward the balcony. I step outside and glance over at my bedroom. I accidentally left the light on, so I have a clear view of my bed. You can see straight into my room. Samson is next to me now.
Yeah, I know. You don't leave that light on nearly enough.
I look at him and he's grinning. I shove him playfully in the shoulder and walk back into the bedroom. I make my way over to the bed and sit on the edge of the mattress. I remove my shoes and then lie down on his bed and watch him. He walks slowly around the bed, staring at me from every angle. I feel like I'm being circled like I'm prey, I say.
Well, I don't want to be the shark in this scenario.
Samson plops down next to me on the bed, holding his head up with his hand.
There. Now I'm plankton.
Better, I say, smiling. He brushes a strand of hair over my ear with a thoughtful expression on his face.
Are you nervous?
No, I feel comfortable with you. That sentence causes concern to briefly fall over his features, almost as if he finds it uncomfortable that I feel comfortable with him. But the look disappears as soon as it appeared. I saw that thought, I say quietly.
What thought?
The negative thought you just had. I bring a finger to the spot between his eyebrows. It was right here. He's quiet as he digests my words.
For someone who doesn't know a lot about me, you sure know a lot about me.
All the stuff you've kept secret from me isn't really stuff that counts.
How do you know if you don't know what secrets I'm keeping from you?
He asks. I don't have to know anything about your past to know you're a good person. I can tell by your actions. I can tell by the way you treat me. Why would it matter what kind of family you have or how rich you are or what the people in your past meant to you before I showed up? That negative thought is back, so I take my finger and smooth out the wrinkles in his forehead. Stop, I whisper. You're too hard on yourself. Samson falls onto his back and brings his hands to his chest. He stares at the ceiling for a moment, so I scoot closer to him and lift my head up, resting it on my hand. I touch his necklace, then walk my fingers up his neck and begin tracing his lips. He tilts his face toward mine.
Maybe we shouldn't do this.
His words are more of a question, so I immediately shake my head. I want to.
It's not fair to you.
Why? Because I don't know everything about you? He nods.
I'm worried you wouldn't be saying yes right now if you knew the whole truth about me.
I press my lips to his, but only briefly. You're being dramatic.
I'm actually not, he says. I've just lived a dramatic life and you might not like it.
Same thing. We're both dramatic because we have dramatic parents and dramatic pasts. We could be having dramatic sex right now if you'd stop feeling so guilty.
He smiles. I sit up and take off my shirt. The worry in his eyes disappears as he slides me onto him so that I'm straddling him. He already feels ready, but he brings a hand up and traces a finger slowly over the lace edges of my bra, like he's in no hurry at all. I've only ever had sex in Dakota's truck, I say. This will be my first time in a bed. Samson drags his finger down my stomach, stopping at the button on my shorts.
This will be my first time with a girl I have feelings for.
I try to stay as stoic as him when he makes that declaration, but his words move through me so hard I frown. He brings his hand up to my mouth, sliding his fingers across it.
Why did that make you sad?
I debate shaking my head to avoid answering that question, but if there's one thing I've learned this summer, it's that secrets aren't really as valuable as I used to think they were. I go with honesty. When you say things like that, it makes me dread when we have to say goodbye. I wasn't expecting to end the summer with a broken heart.
Samson tilts his head, looking at me with complete candor.
Don't worry. Hearts don't have bones they can't actually break.
Samson rolls me onto my back and takes off his shirt, and that's enough to appease me for about 2 seconds. But then my thoughts are right back to where they were before he got half naked. He lowers himself on top of me, but before we kiss again, I say, if there's nothing inside a heart that can break, why does